In 1994, when Boeing first published safety data showing a clear correlation between a country's plane crashes and its score on Hofstede's dimensions, the company's researchers practically tied themselves in knots, trying not to draw a fence. "We're not saying there's anything here, but we think there's something there," is how Boeing's chief engineer for airplane safety put it. Why are we so squeamish? Why is the fact that each of us comes from a culture with its own distinctive mix of strengths and weaknesses, tendencies and predispositions so difficult to acknowledge? We cannot pretend that each of us is a product simply of our own lives and experiences. When we ignore culture, planes crash. Back to the cockpit. Today, weather radar has helped us a lot. No pilot would say that now, but this was 1997, before Korean Air took its power distance issues seriously. The captain was tired, and the engineer's true meaning sailed over his head. "Yes," the captain says in response, "they are very useful." He isn't listening. The plane is flying towards the VOR beacon, and the VOR is on the side of a mountain. The weather hasn't broken, so the pilots can't see anything. The captain puts the landing gear down and extends the flaps. At 1:41 and 48 seconds, the captain says, "Wiper on," and the flight engineer turns them on. It's raining now. At 1:41 and 59 seconds, the first officer asks, "Not in sight?" He's looking for the runway. He can't see it. He's had a sinking feeling in his stomach for some time now. 1 second later, the ground proximity warning system calls out in its toneless electronic voice, 500 feet. The plane is 500 feet off the ground. The ground in this case is the side of Nimitz Hill. But the crew is confused because they think that the ground means the runway. And how can that be if they can't see the runway? The flight engineer says, "Eh?" in an astonished tone of voice. You can imagine them all thinking, furiously, trying to square their assumption of where the plane is with what their instruments are telling them. At 1:42 and 19 seconds, the first officer says, "Let's make a missed approach." He has finally upgraded from a hint to a crew obligation. He wants to abort the landing. Later, in the crash investigation, it was determined that if he had seized control of the plane in that moment, there would have been enough time to pull up the nose and clear Nimitz Hill. This is what first officers are trained to do when they believe a captain is clearly in the wrong. But it is one thing to learn that in a classroom, and quite another to actually do it, in the air, with someone who might wrap you with the back of his hand if you make a mistake. 1:42 and 20 seconds. Flight engineer. Not in sight. Finally, with disaster staring them in the face, the first officer and the engineer speak up. They want the captain to go around, to pull up and start the landing over again. But it's too late. 1:42 and 21 seconds. First officer. Not in sight. Missed approach. 1:42 and 22 seconds. Flight engineer. Go around. 1:42 and 23 seconds. Captain. Go around. 1:42 and 24 seconds. Ground proximity warning. GPW. 100 feet. 1:42 and 24 seconds and 84 one-hundredths. GPW. 50. GPW, 40. GPW, 30. GPW, 20. 1:42, 25 seconds and 78 one-hundredths. Sound of initial impact. 1:42, 28 seconds and 65 one-hundredths. Sound of tone. 1:42, 28 seconds and 91 one-hundredths. Sound of groans. 1:42 and 30 seconds and 54 one-hundredths. Sound of tone. End of recording.